Well, welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Chris Lorton here. My guest today, kind of a Washington insider, Jake Loft. Welcome, Jake.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Yes. Always good to be here in Jerseyville.
I think I had you on here a year ago.
Well, what a year it's been.
Yes, it's been a good one.
A lot has happened since then.
Jake, a little quick rundown for those that maybe don't know of Jake Loft. I mean, you'd think everybody would, but grew up in Jersey County?
Yep, grew up in Grafton, and I went to school in Jerseyville my whole life. And my parents were from here, my grandparents from here, and it's I'm proud to call it home. It's always good to visit and be here now that I live in St. Louis.
And then for a while now, your grandpa, Bernie Loft, was my high school shop teacher, and one of the best teachers I ever had, that's for sure. I learned a lot from that guy.
Him and my grandma were pretty much everybody's teacher.
That's true, yeah. And he's living in Jerseyville still, isn't he?
That's right. They lived in Hardin for a while, and now they live in Jerseyville.
Yeah. And you lived in D.C. for a while.
Yes, I did. I was in D.C. from 2016 until 2023.
Now, did COVID, is that why you got out, or why'd you get out?
No. I'm surprised COVID didn't drive me out of town, because it drove me crazy. But I got out shortly after that, just for some personal reasons. I felt like I had been in D.C. Enough. I was there for three presidents. Obama was president when I moved there, even. And it's just a type of place where you got to know whenever your time has passed. And I got out while I was ahead, because that city will eat you up.
It will. Okay.
Yeah.
I believe it. Now you went, you did a spotlight show, and that last spotlight show a year ago, you talked about kind of the DC, kind of the inside picture of what's going on with it, how kind of crazy it is, that things had happened.
So far, it's a bizarre place.
Yes. And so if people want to go back and listen to that first one that you did, it's on Listen on Demand on our webpage. But there's been a lot of political shit going on in the last year, for sure. And you have a political, your company, you're CEO and founder of J Loft Company, the jloft.com company, and it's you're a political advertising agency.
That's right. A one-man, full-service political ad agency. And it's a lot of fun, especially because the way the politics are now, it's all online. I focus a lot of my stuff online.
Yeah.
We've got, I would say, the 45th and now 47th president has probably been the most online president in history.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Now, when did you make this switch to doing your own thing?
So in January of 2023, I opened up my own shop. Started off with a few DC clients, and then moved to St. Louis and took over pretty quickly some of the state politics consulting. I've worked on a bunch of state representative races and state senate races since then. I've been on it for about 2 years now, and it's been great.
So how do you get on with those guys? How do they become your clients?
I really just fell into it. I tell you, that's why I always, the same reason I got into DC, like I should work in like programming or something. But I just happened to know a bunch of people that were in politics, and they took me to DC with them. And so I grew up to go to DC, and all my friends grew up to be big shots in Jefferson City.
Okay.
And so now that I'm back, they're happy to help me out. And we keep the business going between each other. I'm blessed to be involved in some of the highest levels of state politics at this time.
Yeah. Can you say who some of your clients are?
Yeah. So we had a really close race that we just pulled out by 119 votes this year. Representative Phil Olerking represents Baldwin, Missouri.
Okay.
And that was one of the toughest legislative races in the state this year. Had a lot of money on the opposition behind it, and we ended up pulling it out by 119 votes. Due to many factors, and I think a lot of it had to do with how well Donald Trump did across the country. Then I had some couple other races. I had a St. Louis County Council race for Mike Archer was his name, and he ended up unseating an incumbent Republican. I was with him in the primary.
Great.
We unseated a Republican, and then he won as general by a lot. as a Republican. So okay. We're seeing a lot of interesting things happen in St. Louis County, which has traditionally been fairly Democratic.
So do you work just with Republican candidates, independent candidates, Democrat? Who do you work with?
My main clients are Republicans. I'm a conservative guy myself. I can see some good things on both sides for some types of people. But in the climate right now, I don't think a Democrat would hire me.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But they should, because I can make them win.
Regardless. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. So what was your record this year? How many clients did you handle? How many did you win?
So I was involved in 23 races in various ways, fairly major in some of them. And we ended up pulling out 21 of the 23. So I'm a 21-2 this year.
Cool.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this, can you give us the ABCs of digital advertising as far as for clients? You got anything you want to talk about?
Well, so the collapse of like television advertising has become pretty apparent. You want to get voters where they're at. You don't want to waste money on unnecessary like bleed across districts. People are seeing that more than ever. Because you know, while you know inflation is high and things are expensive, so individuals are strapped for cash.
Right.
So there's less money like being donated for television, which is more expensive than ever. So we're seeing a great resurgence of online advertising because of that.
It's
direct, it's cheap. You can switch out creative at any time, right? And so if the news cycle changes, within an hour, you can have your entire message switched online.
And not so easy in television.
No, you have to. There's a buying process. You know this. You're in radio.
Yeah, right.
You know? I mean, there's a week turnaround time to like produce a television ad and get it sent to the networks and everything.
So basically, like your clients, okay, they have a staff of people and they're getting information, they're gathering it, and they just send you clips and then you put it together. And
in some cases,
I'm just guessing. You tell me what's
going on. That's right. In some cases, they have full digital staff members that are shooting videos and cutting videos, and they'll just send them as they come, and I'll throw them up on Facebook or YouTube and put quite a bit of money behind it. And then in other cases, I'm doing the entire thing. Like occasionally I will go to meet with one of these elected officials with a guy with a camera, and we'll shoot an ad right there and get it cut and thrown up. There's a lot of different stuff involved.
Well, if they have their own digital staff, why aren't they doing it? Why do they hire you?
So they don't always have a digital staff. So that's it. So larger campaigns have the money to have full-time people following them around writing Facebook posts for them. But a lot of times, if you're running for a state legislature or running for city council or whatever, you've got like two people working for you total. Mm-hmm. And so you have to outsource, which makes my stuff good, because a larger agency of this type would cost the price of three or four staffers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can undercut them since I have no like real overhead.
So who are some of the other clients? You got any from in the national level?
During the presidential campaign, I had some clients that were involved in the primary. I have made advertising and websites for Tim Scott's Super PAC. A couple of my governor candidates won this year. Kelly Ayotte won governor of New Hampshire. And that was one of my first ever projects. I started that 2 years ago. So that was great to see her win. And other federal stuff. I had some members of Congress. It's Jennifer Kiggins is a strong member of Congress that won. Good military veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some others. But right now, I'm focused a lot on just Missouri.
Okay. Hey, if you're just joining us, I've got Jake Loft with me. He's an advertising guy, political advertising all the way for all over the country.
Yeah,
and
all levels of government.
All levels. And he's with us. He was with us about a year ago, and he's back with us today. Jake, I'm going to get your opinion on a couple of things. I mean, even when, for example, when the election was going on and Tuesday night, I was sending texts to you. Did you get anybody else sending texts, like wanting some inside info?
Yeah, my phone was ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
I was getting text messages. I had Chris in there. I was updating him. I'm like, here's what you need to look at. Here's the keys to the election.
Yeah, where to go, what to do. So
yes.
I was in my big easy chair with my laptop and just, you know, giving you some texts and
I was there. I was ahead of the news in many cases.
Yeah, you were in
many places.
So tell me, okay, one thing you're going to talk about a little bit is who do you feel like elected Donald Trump this election cycle?
I think this
give us your rundown.
So in my opinion, this election was just like 1980. The issues were the same. You had out of control inflation. Nobody could afford groceries. There was an unidentified threat of Russia and Iran doing something in the Middle East. Also at the same time, there was a weak president in Jimmy Carter, and people had had enough of all of this, right?
True.
And Reagan showed up against all odds and won in the biggest landslide in history up until then. Then the second time, he took the biggest landslide again, which has not yet been broken. Those same people turned out again in droves for Republicans all over the country, including Donald Trump. The issues are the same. We have no idea what's going on with Vladimir Putin. Iran can invade Israel or bomb the entire Middle East at any time. And the president has been gone for the last 6 months, probably even longer. We've been functionally without a president for 8 months at least. And then you add on one other issue. The parents of kids in schools are outraged at the way the Democrats have been treating them internally and externally when they try to say that they know better than the parents when it comes to schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are the same ones that elected Reagan in 1980. They grew up, saw the same problems again, saw their kids living in a worse country than they had even. And they turned out for Republicans, and the media lied to us the whole time and said it was never going to happen.
I know. So you said you call it Gen X, 45 to...
That's right. Gen X elected Donald Trump, about 45 to 60-year-old people.
In Jake Loft's, that's what Jake Loft says.
That's what I say. Nobody else says this but me, but they need... it is very interesting, the shift in demographics. One other thing that I saw that was crazy. The demographic between 18-year-olds to 29-year-olds went for Republicans by 19 points in favorability. Their favorability for Donald Trump is 19 points above water, when traditionally that voting block has been going Democrat by like 80%.
Yeah.
Right? And so something is going on that the media hasn't been telling us.
So you said there's a big fallout in the mainstream media that's pretty evident. Give us your take on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they've been lying to us for years, thinking that we weren't going to notice. Now that Donald Trump has done this, pulled this race out twice now, maybe three times, the mainstream media is faced with a reckoning with the people. The people have completely abandoned them. You look at the ratings, like Fox News has always been on top. But never by this much. MSNBC is completely cratered. Like, Joe Scarborough is meeting with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago for some reason. Probably because he knows he's about to get canned and he needs to like get in good graces with the guy.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Like,
yeah.
They know more than us. They're the ones that are in the office. They know that they're all getting fired. MSNBC is about to be sold. And they don't really know how to reckon with themselves. For the last 3 weeks, they've been arguing on air about what they should learn from this, and it's clear they have learned nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The people are not with them anymore, and we now know they were lying about the polls, just like they lied about COVID, just like they lied about Russia, and just like they tried to lie about every business dealing Donald Trump has ever been involved with.
So what do you see happening with the changes? What big changes do you see happening?
The rise of independent media has been with us for 3 or 4 years now, but I think it just grew even more powerful with the right wing comedian scene getting involved with politics for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Their base is just expanding ever so greatly. The Donald Trump going on Joe Rogan and Theo Vaughn and sending J.D. Vance around to all of these too. Like, people watch those. Like, there's nobody that is like on the fence is getting off of the fence by watching short interviews on 60 Minutes or CNN or whatever.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. These guys, they put them in the room for 3 hours and you just really get to know them.
Uh-huh.
And it said, and what they'd said so much about what the Democrats do. Like, they won't put somebody in a room like that because they know they don't have 3 hours of material.
Right.
Because they're just so inauthentic. They don't believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is trash the other side. They're not supporting anything. Like, we're now in a new era, a new golden age of America, full of optimism and like what we can do next, which is just like what Reagan was bringing to us.
I see.
And we're gonna do it with innovative, radical change. We're seeing new people in the government that would never have been involved before. And that was, I think, so a lot of this, like, Elon Musk thing, like Peter Thiel, Elon Musk getting involved with the government now. That's due to like J.D. Vance in many ways.
Yeah,
he's like a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley and knows these guys. And he's like, you guys should be with us.
Uh-huh.
Elon already knows it. He bought Twitter and like saved independent media from the Democrats. They would have shut this down by now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the stuff that they were shutting down, like, with alleged misinformation before, they wouldn't have tolerated it. They would have put all of us in jail by now.
Yeah.
And so, like, Elon saved the internet in many ways because of that. But other than that, we're going to see so much new policy making, like, chops with the new guys. You got Elon Musk is going to send us to Mars. We have not been this inspired since Kennedy.
Right. Okay.
We have an actual Kennedy back.
Yeah.
The good one.
Yeah. So how about some of these cabinet picks? What are you thinking? What's your opinion on that?
I think that they're good. I'm not going to let the media convince me that any of these guys are bad. I supported Matt Gaetz too. Just today he withdrew his name from.
Of course, this is recorded. This is going to come out. So in a few days ago, when this comes out, when our interview comes out.
Oh yeah.
So we're a few days ahead, but it did today. We're doing this interview, and today it just came out that he decided not to compete, not to run,
right.
Resigned.
And you know, there probably is something there, like. I mean, we created like a little bit of a circus around Gaetz.
Okay, now this is kind of interesting. Okay, we're going to get your opinion on it, all right, here at WJBM. And then by the time this airs, all the other opinionator people will have their opinions. We'll just see, you know, we'll see what yours is. We'll see if it lines up. Yeah, we'll see if it lines up. So, all right, let's hear it. What about Matt Gaetz? You even know Matt Gaetz, right?
I've met him before, yeah. I don't know him, but I have met him 2 times.
Okay.
So we created there was a media circus created around Matt Gaetz, which was obvious. I don't think he was a bad pick. I think the point of picking somebody like this, like out of the box, is because the system has failed to deliver any meaningful results over and over again. Doesn't matter who the president is. And that's because they always pick the same bureaucrats from DC. It's the same group all the time.
Yeah.
And so Donald Trump has like disrupted that in the first place, by picking Gaetz. And then as far as qualifications go, let's think about who we really want to be running the DOJ is somebody that knows like how corrupt it can be, right? The Department of Justice has been out of control for the last 8 years. Matt Gaetz has been one of the only ones to stand up against it. And additionally, he is one of the only ones that wants to ban members of Congress from trading stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two things that scare the hell out of Washington.
Okay.
Because all of the office of the Attorney General is about to be exposed as corrupt, and the half of Congress is going to go to jail for insider trading, right?
Uh-oh.
And yeah. So they want to keep Matt Gaetz out for that reason. That's what I think the main reason is. It's easy to say that there's all these sexual assault allegations or whatever against him, but those were all dropped already. It's the same Russia, 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 good people on both sides, hoax that they're all spreading it like they always do. So that's my position on Gaetz. But the rest of the people in the cabinet, I don't see any problem with. I don't know how anybody else would. Robert Kennedy is bringing fresh, new, innovative ideas that are actually going to help people. And the only reason that you would disagree with him on any of this stuff is if you're stupid or you're bought up by the pharmaceutical companies and the chemical companies. Like it's obvious that we're killing our kids with all this food stuff. Everybody knows it.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Jake Loft with me, kind of the inside Washington, D.C. guy that I happen to know and from the area. Now, Jake, so how about the other picks? Let's see, who did we have?
Tulsi Gabbard is back. She's a director of national intelligence is mm-hmm. What they picked for her. That's an interesting one, which I guess I do could have seen coming, since she has been running against the war machine for years. And
true.
Like, that is where Donald Trump is at on many things.
And how about Hegget? Is that with Fox?
Pete Hegseth.
Hegseth.
I didn't see that one coming at all. Yeah. I saw it on the news. So I woke up in the morning like, Pete Hegseth from Fox News?
Yeah. So you researched it. So what do you think?
I don't think he's that bad of a... You know, he actually is a decorated member of the military. We've had before, like in offices like this, has just been paper pushers, mm-hmm. right? And so it's good to have somebody that has real military experience in the office at the Pentagon. They're going to malign him as much as possible. He's made a career of hassling the other side about stuff as a television commentator,
uh-huh.
and they're going to give it right back to him. It's not going to be easy for him, but they're already making up a bunch of lies. You see that he's got some kind of a Christian tattoo that they're saying is a white supremacist tattoo that nobody believes.
Okay.
And then that's probably going to be the line that you hear forever is Pete Hegseth supports white supremacy because of this. Right. And like, that's what they're going to pull out of it. It's all stupid. I think he's going to get in.
Do you think he's going to get? Do you think Trump's going to get most of his guys in? Most of the cabinet members?
Yeah, there's always somebody that doesn't get in, a sacrificial lamb of sorts, right? And so they're saying what I'm kind of hearing is Gates was like the radical pick because that makes everybody else seem less radical,
right? Less attention on the rest of them.
Real art of the deal thing going on.
Uh-huh. Could be.
Like, I want to see the Senate act on this stuff. Like they got a majority. And they should follow through with what the president's plans are instead of trying to sabotage him all the time. We've already seen what happens when they try to sabotage him. It cannot be done.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the House with him. The House of Representatives is with him and Mike Johnson. They're going to do the agenda. But the Senate is always a little bit tricky. The nature of the Senate brings them further away from the real wants of the people. They're more concerned with keeping government stabilized and getting and keeping everything the same. Like no radical change ever comes out of the Senate. It always comes out of the House.
Yes. Well, you know what, Jake? Craig's saying we got to shut it down. We've ran out of time. Any last quick words of wisdom?
Believe in our country. Believe in America. We're in a great place. It's going to be better than ever. Don't let the media get you down. Because they don't know anything.
Okay. Except for maybe WJBM.
Except for WJBM.
Small
independent radio.
Well, thanks, Jake, for coming in. Appreciate it. You're always fun. Love it.
Thanks for having me.